Welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, Blake, Tyler, and Rob. They'll take over while I give the Covenant back their bomb.
What's up, and welcome to the... Go ahead.
I know where you live.
Yeah, fucking do something about it.
This is the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. I
am your host,
Blake.
Blake, from where we are to where you are, we welcome you into this week's episode. It is Wednesday, November 8th. Tyler is a jackweed, and nobody really likes him, and frankly respects him.
This is why I interrupt your intro, is because it's just terrible. See, you went off the rails immediately. Well, you can't be thrown off your game that easily.
I mean, but he went off the rails because you threw about five logs in his path.
Well, maybe he should get better at handling logs.
I mean, but rails can only go one direction. You throw it in the road, he can swerve to miss, but rails, it's just there.
That's debatable.
Okay.
Also, I think the mode of transportation that would best describe Blake is train, because once he gets going, he can't stop or else he breaks.
No, that's 100% true. You know, you definitely shouldn't stop me because more people are just going to get hurt.
But it takes him forever to get going. And there's a lot of steam and smoke that comes out. So, yeah, that's appropriate.
Oh, boy.
And he loves getting railed.
We've got a great show for you, as always. I mean, I think like uncoordinated, we all pre-gamed this episode.
Yeah.
Like, rather than just like, you know, getting your drink for the podcast and then having it, I'm pretty sure
I didn't pre-game.
Sure, me and Tyler have pre-gamed for this episode.
Well, my pizza wasn't ready when I went to go pick it up. And so what else am I going to do when I'm sitting there waiting for my pizza to be ready?
Yeah, and I fucking joined this recording and didn't have any of my tabs open. I got distracted by that the link I sent you, Tyler. That was all that was in my mind. Oh boy, you got a great show for you guys, as always. Gonna hit some news and notes, fucking the transactions.
Sure,
there's not a lot to talk about there. There were a couple trades that occurred last week. I'm gonna try not to miss those, and then hit up our matchups and whatnot. So, Tyler, if you want to get into the news.
Oh, boy. We're just skipping the whole thing you sent me, huh? All right, cool.
Whatever.
Here we go.
Do it. Did I?
Knock, knock. Who's there? The news.
All right. So, I mean, I did a piss-poor job of taking notes this week, but we'll start with injuries.
What?
The most significant injury is Daniel Jones tears his ACL during football last Sunday. I
mean, is it significant?
Yeah.
it's a significant injury.
You know what? True. Just move on. Rob and I are in agreement. No one cares.
No one cares. Oh, geez. Fine. Doesn't affect fantasy.
Cam Akers tears his Achilles. I mean, that is a little bit more significant because that means fire up your Alexander Mattison.
Sure.
Yeah. And Akers is done. Like, I mean, I said it the first time Akers had the Achilles that, you know, as soon as a running back gets an Achilles, I'm going to take whatever I can get for him. Now, like, literally, if someone will just take him off my team so I don't have to draft him, great. Great. One fab. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah. So, quick question. Was it the same Achilles as before or different? The other. So
other one.
So he's snapped both.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not great.
Yeah, I remember making the comment as soon as the rumor that it was an Achilles, I said, okay, Akers' career is over. He's done. He's never coming back to football. Oh, yeah. That's it. What do we got? Jamar Chase. Tyler, I don't know a ton about this one, but we were talking about this injury today. From what I gathered and what I heard is basically he laid out for a ball and landed straight up flat on his back.
Yep.
So he's got a general back injury, and he's questionable for this week. I don't really know any more than that.
Yeah, and it tightened up as the game went on, and so it got worse and worse and worse. And he did not practice today, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was getting treatment. He's just really stiff. I mean, it's not like an injury. It's not like he's got a disc issue or whatever. He's just like super stiff.
I mean, it's something to monitor though until he's
cleared.
Like,
Yeah, because you can't like jump up for balls and lay out in the future if your back is all stiff. I mean, a wide receiver needs to. Yeah, it's a yes. So it is something to monitor, but it's not like if he misses this week, it's going to be a 1 week thing. I mean, it's not like a long term deal. It's just like he's hurt his back muscles.
All right. Other just a little bit of like injury updates. Justin Fields. I don't know. This is a new one before I get into Justin Fields. Treylon Burks, officially questionable. Big concussion, big worry that happened last week. Carted off the field. He's 100% not going to play this week. But just a bad start to a career for Treylon Burks.
Oh, 100%. I mean, he came out with such, you know, especially in the dynasty world, you know, with he was going to be taking the place of A.J. Brown in this offense. And then, you know, he's just got it all going. And he was hurt at the beginning of the year, but he showed promise. And this year's just been a mess.
Yeah. I mean, and none of them are related, which is the problem, right?
Right.
You know, that's where we hesitate to go, oh, the guy's injury prone. Well, none of these things that are happening are the same. They're all different stuff. And so it's like, man, it's just one of those where I don't know what you do in Dynasty. I mean, I have him everywhere because I loved him coming out. You know, check one on Tyler's wide receiver, you know, box. But, you know, I don't know what you do other than just hold on to him because no one's paying up for him. I mean,
no, you have to.
Is Hopkins gone after this year?
Ooh, I don't know if he signed a one-year deal or if it was more than one. I honestly don't know.
90% sure it was a one-year deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Hopkins is gone, then once again, we're going to go into the offseason and say this is Treylon Burks's, you know, wide receiver room. Now they address the quarterback position, and it looks like Levis is their guy going forward. They already announced him as the starting quarterback for the rest of the year. So, you know, if they have that fixed and they can go into next year and say, okay, we got Tajay Spears at running back. We got Treylon Burks. Let's add maybe to the wide receiver room or to the tight end room or, you know, to the offensive line. You know, I think they have a core there, and it's just let's start building.
Yeah, so before we get into some quarterback news, because I got four of them on my list here, some running backs, David Montgomery, off the IR, practicing today, and Dan Campbell says that it looks really good that he's going to be starting this weekend. So I guess, what are you guys' opinions with the breakout of Jahmyr Gibbs recently? Do the Lions just go back to what the status quo was, or does it change their play calling or play style going forward with Montgomery coming back?
I mean, I personally think it changes. I don't think they go to the same split because earlier in the year, you didn't know exactly you had a rookie. I mean, he's still a rookie, but you had a rookie with just a few games under his belt. He's shown what he can do running the show. And so you can't just go back to the way it was. It's still going to be, you know, at best, if you've got either player, at best, you're looking for a 50-50. But I don't think it's going to be like it was, you know, where it was what? 65-35 or maybe even 70-30, but I think it's going to be closer to 50-50. So, but yeah, I think they're both useful in that offense.
Yeah, I think the easiest one, the easiest comp to look at here is look at rookie year Alvin Kamara, because that's who Gibbs was comped to coming out, was Alvin Kamara with his pass catching chops. Kamara, towards the end of the year, his highest snap share was 64%. And that, you know, he came on slow. But he just kept producing on those, you know, really efficient runs, really efficient catches, that sort of thing. And I think that's what we're looking at with Gibbs, where, you know, Kamara had multiple games from week 9 on under 50% snap share. And I think we'll see that again with Gibbs. And you just have to hope that he's efficient with the touches he gets. And I think he will be. And from a dynasty perspective, you know, you look at him going forward, and I think that's kind of what you can expect, is just follow this Kamara path, where year one it was like Kamara Ingram split, year two it was okay, Kamara's the guy, Ingram is kind of fading out because next year David Montgomery is still going to be there, and then year three is the breakout because that's when David Montgomery is gone and it will be full bore.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Tyler, on the dynasty perspective. But I'm totally in the other camp for the rest of this year than you guys. I mean, I'm not saying that it's going to go back to like it was in the first two games of the season where he's getting 8 touches a game and that's it. I think he'll probably get 12 to 15, but it's just going to be a Montgomery's going to get the volume. He's going to be especially between the 20s kind of work. And it's just going to be how efficient can Gibbs be with the swing, the outside routes that he runs and the touches he have. I don't think it's going to be as close to a 50-50 kind of share.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was thinking. So, I mean, early year Gibbs, Blake, was 27% game one, but then 48, 60, and then 37 the week he got hurt. So, I mean, it was already, like, snap share-wise, it was already 50-50. It was just the touches that were going more Montgomery's way. And so we're completely in aligned. It's just different ways of, you know, getting there.
Raj. All right. Other running back. James Conner designated to return off IR to return to practice. And that kind of bleeds into, we can talk about both of them. Kyler Murray is finally starting this week. The Cardinals, I mean, they're in a hole. They're not going to be competing really for anything, but Kyler Murray is a good quarterback. James Conner is a very efficient running back in that offense. And they've got a lot of weapons in the passing game. I mean, their tight ends coming out. They've got the rookie receiver, Michael Wilson, doing well in Hollywood Brown. I mean, they've got the pieces there to have a decent and a good fantasy offense because their defense is trash.
Yeah, I think one thing that needs to be noted is you have to temper expectations for Kyler. Quarterbacks, even Joe Burrow, right? Not an ultra mobile guy coming off the ACL was not the Joe Burrow we know because it's just that trusting the ACL and the mobility and stuff like that. I'm not expecting Kyler to have, you know, a great game. If he gets 20 points for you in our league, right? Awesome. That's, you know, but realistically, I don't expect him to run like at all, which is where his baseline came from. So I think that realistically the rest of this year is kind of what the Ravens were doing with Lamar and saying, let's work on pocket passing. We know this year is a wash anyway. Let's work on pocket passing, stay in the pocket, make your reads, do that. Don't run. Like, you don't have to. So don't. And I think that'll be kind of what the rest of this year looks like for Kyler, and he'll get better and better and better. And then, you know, depending on where their win total is, they'll have a decision to make between him and Caleb Williams.
Right. And the rest of the league will be watching, because if they can see progress from Kyler in the things you're talking about, and they're still not winning and they get in that sweepstakes, then Kyler becomes a commodity that these quarterback needy teams might look at. To go back to the running back, unlike Kyler, I don't think that he's going to be playing this week. They may activate him, but I don't think they're going to play him yet this week. I think that'll probably go next week. And I think DeMarcado probably won't play this week either, leaving, what's his name? Begins with a K. Ingram, something.
Kyren Williams. Or Kyren, no, not Kyren. Keontae Ingram.
I knew it was K. Ingram, but that's all I got. Yeah. He could actually end up being the starter this week for them.
Yeah, I think James Conner could be a interesting late season trade candidate. Next 3 weeks, not including this week, he has Houston, Rams, and Pittsburgh. Two out of the three of those, with actually the Rams being the worst out of the three, good matchups. So, you know, if you're chasing playoffs and you need wins starting next week, James Conner might be a sneaky by low.
Yeah.
I'm excited to have both these running backs back in Dynasty. I've been without them the last 4 weeks, and I'm still sticking around in second place. So
yeah, hope they get hurt again.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry that your players are dying this year, and that broken arm that I paid the devil for Dallas Goedert. Yeah. That was money.
Yeah, at the time was like, I hope you're hurt and dead, blah, blah, blah.
Well, the reason why I kept saying, I hope your arm is broken is because the way I watched him land looked like he fucking broke his wrist.
Well, it's because he landed on it on somebody else's arm with him on it. And so it just like breaking it over another branch. It was just like,
So I guess that's one that I don't have listed here is, Dallas Goedert broke his forearm out for the season.
No, not out for the season. No, probably out four weeks.
Season, man.
Probably out 4 weeks. God, do you know how bones heal?
Right. But here's Justin Fields, like,
so before you move on from this real quick, last year when Goddard was out for 3-4 games, it was a big uptick for Devontae Smith because he got a lot of those targets that were going to Goddard. So because they don't have a good tight end behind him. So if you've got Devontae Smith, you could see an uptick. You know, he's been disappointing this year because A.J. Brown has just gone crazy nuggets. You could see an uptick in some targets going for Smith.
All right, can I finally talk about Justin Fields and how
he's doubtful? If you want to.
Well,
I
don't bitch about how you structured the questions.
Oh, man. Still got, what is it, a thumb injury? Is that right?
Yes.
Doubtful for this week, so we're going to have another Mr. Badgett.
Yes. It'll be yummy.
Bro loves throwing to Cole Kmet. Say what you want about the Bears' offense with him. He loves the tight end, so.
Well, yeah. Usually bad quarterbacks throw to the tight ends.
Yep. Another quarterback with a hand-associated injury is Matt Stafford. From what I found, I don't remember exactly what it is, but he's played through the same exact injury on the same hand before. I think it's also a thumb. If I remember right, he's basically, from what all intents and purposes, a pure questionable. Day to day, nobody knows what he's doing. Could play, could not. Going to be a game time decision.
Well, they did sign a quarterback today.
That is the next news, and the only news I have left is big ol' CW Carson Wentz signed to the Rams, people. Yeah. He's back in football.
Well, and they dropped whoever it was that started last week. What the hell is his name? Mr. Duke?
I don't remember.
Help me out. I don't know.
Matt Rippon, right?
Yeah. That's it. Matt, or whatever, Burpin. Anyway, he's terrible, and they got rid of him and brought in Carson Wentz, and because of that and the fact that it'll take him to get up speed, I really think Stafford will end up playing. So.
Gotta love that Stafford storyline. And then last little footnote here is Justin Jefferson's window opened up, meaning he's going to make a return, I guess, this year, even though the Vikings team is literally falling apart.
Yeah, so he either has to – so the question was always, is he going to be back before the Week 13 bye? Since they opened up his practice window, that means that they're either bringing him back, or if he re-aggravates it, he's done for the year. And that's where we're at. What it means is that all of the concerns about it being like this, it was like really deep tissue hamstring, like a bad hamstring, all this concern about that has not come to fruition, at least not to this point. And he actually put in a limited practice today. So, you know, anybody who bought low on Justin Jefferson in redraft might be happy by the end of the year.
Yeah. Or who stashed them on their IR, as in Nate, might get a little push here at the end of the year.
Well, I don't think it'll matter for Nate, but that's, discussion.
It might push him out of last place.
Well,
all right, let's get into our transactions and waivers here.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transaction.
All right, so not a ton of excitement in the waivers this week. I mean, the most exciting part to me is that I got all three people I put a bid in it on. So that's never happened before.
Yeah.
But going from the bottom up, Shock is at the Eagles D, dropping the Commanders. I'm assuming that's a bye week situation. I'm adding Deonta Foreman, dropping Leonard Fournette. Yeah, there's not a lot of news. I mean, the Leonard Fournette ad was mainly for the podcast only last week. If there's issues with Khalil Herbert coming back, Foreman should be a fine roster addition.
Yep, I agree.
Geno Smith adds to the Shakas, dropping Will Levis.
Yeah, if this is a bye week, and I'm checking right now, yes, this is a bye week fill-in. That is a great pickup for a bye week fill-in for $0. Seahawks playing the hapless Commanders defense, who has been giving up air yards to everybody. So this is a great pickup.
Irv Smith goes to the Reapers, dropping Quentin Johnston. I feel so vindicated that Quentin Johnston is terrible, because I knew he was going to be before the draft. And he just doesn't look good on the field at all.
Yeah, he was one going into the draft process that was raw, right? That was the whole thing on him, was he is, you know, not a finished product. So I'm not closing the book on Quentin Johnson. However, we do know that if you are ineffective your rookie year, it becomes significantly harder for you to become a top tier receiver. Like, we just don't see that happen. What Devonta Parker did it in what, year five? Devontae Adams did it in like year three, right? Yeah. But it's the list of wide receivers that end up being, you know, a top 12, top 24 wide receiver the rest of their career is low, or short, I guess, for the list.
Yeah, when there were rumors that he was going to go, or the Cowboys were going to take him at 20, whatever, I was like, no, please God, no.
I also think that either he just looks horrendous in practice, which he very well might, because he doesn't look good on the field. But it's one of those where if you spend a first round pick on someone, you should probably, you know, at least see what they have.
Try to use them.
Right. And the Chargers just didn't for the longest time.
Especially
so either,
with all their injuries.
Yeah. So either he's just that bad, or that coach is bad, which is a whole nother thing that, you know, we don't need to.
I heard a stat this week. I want to say he's in the last couple of weeks, he's ran routes on like 80 some percent of plays, and his target per route is like, it's abysmal. It's like one. I'm not about to do these stats right now, but for the routes that he's run, it's like 20% on targets per route. It's really bad. It's a trash. He said he's out there running routes all the time, and either he's running them wrong or he's not open. It's abysmal. All right. Getting off his back, the Keg Raider adds Odell Beckham Jr., dropping the Dolphins D. I mean, Odell got decent production last week. He's averaged like 3-4 catches a game, but he actually had a few good catches last week. Whatever.
It won't last.
$2, I added Dalvin Cook. That's a hopefully a playoff stash for Breece Hall. It's the only reason why he's on my roster.
Got it.
I've got Jonnu Smith for $5 going to the Shakas, dropping Darren Waller.
Yeah. May as well get the best Atlanta tight end, right?
Yeah. I like this ad for Shakas. Darren Waller is not going to play well for you this year, and Jonnu Smith has had pretty consistent fantasy production.
Yeah. And it's just shocking that, much like the kind of person who just keeps playing, you know, a guy, his teammate every week, and hoping for the best. Nobody's taking a chance on Jonnu Smith, who has like outplayed him.
Well, let me tell you, I got so sniped on Jonnu Smith this week because I have Travis Kelce on bye and I'm playing Nate. And so I wanted to just play Jonnu Smith against Nate just to really like, I thought Irv Smith was the better play, but I just wanted to grind that in of like, fuck you, I'm playing Jonnu Smith against you. And it's been taken from me.
And just have him completely. But, well, here's the thing. He wasn't going to play Pitts anyway this week because of a thing that will be coming up shortly.
Tyler, if you are interested in Cade Otton against Tennessee this week.
Nobody's interested in Cade Otton against Tennessee.
6 for 80 for 2 touchdowns last week. I think.
Oh, was he on your bench?
Oh, yeah. Let me take your generic tight end against the 30th best matchup for tight ends.
Oh, and instead you're going to go with Irv Disappointment Smith Jr.?
Yeah. Who are they playing this week?
I don't know.
Irv Smith is playing against Houston this week, who is the 5th best matchup for tight ends.
Oh, there you go. That's probably better.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, whatever. At least the Tennessee is 25th, so the 6th best team against receivers, so that's all I care about. Anyway, rounding out this bullshit.
Wait. Tell me that stat again, because I guarantee you it was wrong.
Well, according to ESPN, they're 25th against receivers, so quick math says they are 6th.
Oh, okay. Best. Gotcha. You just didn't do the 25th best. You said the 25th matchup, and I was like, well, that's wrong, because they're terrible against receivers.
Whatever. Keaton Mitchell, $7 goes to me, Baltimore running back. I'm dropping Justice Hill. Justice Hill's getting the bulk of the carries for that team, but Keaton Mitchell looks like the better running back. So I'm just going to make the switch, keep him at the bottom of my roster, see what happens.
Yeah, for a bottom of the roster pickup, that's fine. I don't think that that's going to become any sort of backfield you want to have any shares of unless somebody else gets hurt. But even then, right, if somebody else gets hurt, I think they're going to bring Melvin Gordon up to the main roster and just fucking throw him out there for 15 carries. And so, yeah, but
he
I
have a game though, didn't he?
Yeah, I really like Keaton Mitchell. I've actually tried to trade for him in Dynasty a couple of times, and the manager that has him knows what he has and is like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm like, you fucker.
Yeah.
All right. We had one trade that happened Sunday morning, yes, an hour and a half before football started. I guess 2 hours, but between the Kegerator and the Hot Snakes. I traded Amari Cooper and George Kittle, and I received Amon-Ra St. Brown. It was a little 2-for-1. Amari Cooper then proceeded to get his best game of the entire year for Nate. Thank God I won anyway. But what do you guys think about this one?
I mean, going into it, I mean, you had Laporta and Kittle. And so you were obviously playing Laporta because you also like Detroit. So Kittle was an extra asset you didn't need to have. So to couple that with Amari Cooper to get Amon-Ra, which is a clear number one on a good team, a winning team, where Cleveland is an okay team whose quarterback has struggled and backup has played. I mean, you upgraded a wide receiver by far, and you traded a player that's a bench player for you. So kudos, good upgrade, and Kegerator needs all the help he can get, so I could see why this trade happened.
Yeah, I think that clearly Blake got the best player in this trade in Amon-Ra. And, you know, I don't love that he's stacking Laporta and Ra, but, you know, just to get into the Lions for you, I got some stats for you if you want to hear them.
Sure, roll them out.
Numbers gone, it's a fact. Go ahead and check stats. Yeah, I found a glitch in the code. Exploit that, not glistening gold.
So the Lions this year are top 10 in both plays per game, so they play super fast, and yards per play. So that is, they're one of two teams. It's them and the Eagles. And those are the offenses you want to target. And if you want multiple pieces, those are the ones you want to do because they're both getting chunk plays and they're running a ton of plays every game. And right, on top of that, the best part maybe for the fantasy playoffs, the Lions play one game outside between now and week 17. Everything else is in a dome.
I love that.
That is pretty good.
Never looked at that in my life. The reason why I did it is I'm sitting there looking at my team. You know, I've got a plethora of receivers. I've got, like you said, Rob, George Kittle, who's doing nothing for nobody. If I can use him to buy another receiver who's like you said, Tyler, is an upgrade. Far big upgrade at consistency. So that's just going to help my team. And Nate was finally ready to fucking do something about his trash swamp situation that is his roster. So the best part about this entire thing is I sent the trade over. It was Saturday. And Nate said, yeah, I'll look at it later. I'm working today. Didn't hear back from him. Sunday morning, I get up and everything, and I'm getting ready, and I text him, hey, did you ever look at that trade? 2 seconds later, boom, an email came through, accepted. I was like, all right, so I guess
yeah, that makes total sense, because all Nate does is he looks at the trade and goes, hey, I'll text you back, and then doesn't text you back for 2 days, and when you text him, he makes a split decision.
You're just like, fuck it.
So just make the split decision at the start, man.
Yeah.
I think Nate should just, like Pokemon, collect all the tight ends that are disappointing every week so that he can never play the right one ever.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Hey, Kate Otten's available.
There you go.
I mean, he's had one good game, and it was the week you decided to keep him on your bench.
Irv Smith will be available after this week.
Oh, look at that.
All right, let's move on.
All right, please.
All right, that's the gut check, folks. What are y'all drinking? Rob, go first.
I am drinking orange mango ice and vodka.
Solid. Tyler?
I got the mandate that I couldn't buy more beer until more beer could fit in the fridge. And so I'm clearing out my fridge. So I'm currently on my third Michelob Ultra.
Oh my God.
And we're rocking and rolling.
Sweet. I'm having a bit of a smorgasbord tonight, just like Tyler, but it's more creative. Right now I'm having a Godfather, which is whiskey and amaretto. But I did get half a bottle of some homemade mead that my grandpa and I made. I got that delivered last night. If you like mead, it's a fucking fantastic batch, and I have 5 gallons of it. But if you've ever had a proper bee sting, it is mead, honey mead, no berries or anything, with Angry Orchard cider. Had a couple of those earlier, and it was fantastic. So
the mead turned out good.
Mead is good, baby. I'm ready to make another batch. So nice.
I don't like mead, so I don't want any.
Never had it, and I can't because, you know, it's gluteny.
It's not gluteny.
Isn't it?
No. It's honey, water, and yeast.
Oh, well, yeast, which is a thing I can't have.
Correct. Yeast is something you can't have?
Yeah. Yes. The yeast and barley and beer is what I can't have.
No, I thought it was the barley.
It's both. Yeast, not a thing.
I don't know. I don't think that's true. I'm going to have to look that up because I think you're 100% wrong.
Don't worry. Tyler will pull the stats on yeast.
I'll pull it. I could be wrong. I could be talking out my ass.
I'm pretty sure you're incredibly wrong.
All right. Don't worry. I typed into Google, is yeast contain gluten?
Is yeast contain gluten?
Most yeast is gluten-free, but some kinds of yeast do contain gluten. So there you go.
So there you go.
So it depends on what type of yeast you is have.
Yeah. You know that wine is made with like grapes, water, and yeast? Like that's basically all it is.
That's why I don't drink wine.
No, you don't drink wine.
Mostly because it sucks, because I don't like it.
This has been the tangent of the day.
Yeah,
brought to you by Rob's Adam's Apples. Rob, why don't you tell us about our sponsor there?
Rob's Adam's Apples. Well, see, you could go to an orchard for crab apples, or you could go to an orchard for Granny Smith apples. They're a little sour. I don't like them. Red Delicious, whatever you like. But if you want Adam's apples, you go to the graveyard. You dig up all the corpses. You cut out their throats, and you put them in a bucket. Rob's Adam's Apples. They're delicious.
Oh, boy. Thank you for that, sponsor. And thank you for tuning into this week's Meadcast. Let's get into our matchups.
The Bulldogs.
Yeah, Bulldogs.
Wow.
Not so fast.
All right, boys, our first matchup, because, spoiler, the Commissioner's Cup is back home, boys, back where they belong. So it's finally in my hands, which means mine's the last matchup. So the first matchup this week is the Kegerator at 2-7, projected 125 points versus our own Tyler's Fantasy Reapers at 6-3, projected 115. That is a depressing score that you're throwing out there, Tyler, versus the Kegerator. We'll get to that in a second, though.
Yes.
There's a super easy explanation for that.
Yeah, Kansas City's on a bye.
Yeah, so are the Eagles. So, Rob, the Keg, they have a chance here to get a win. They've got Lamar Jackson home against Cleveland at quarterback, James Cook and Jonathan Taylor at the running back spots, Jerry Jeudy and Amari Cooper both on the road. At the receivers, George Kittle is also on the road. He's at the tight end. Montgomery, storming back. He's healthy. And Taysom Hill are in the flex, both also on the road.
Yeah.
The Falcons defense on the road. So there's a theme with this team here.
Yeah, they like to be on the road. I mean, I'll hit some highlights. Lamar, we're going to see. Last time they played Cleveland at Cleveland, he got 4 touchdowns, had a good fantasy week, but didn't even get over 200 yards passing. So is he that efficient? I don't know. We'll find out. Cook should be fine. I do like is Kittle good? I mean, is Jacksonville good against tight ends? I'm not sure. I don't remember.
They are bottom half. They, on average, when you adjust for their schedule, they give up like a point and a half less to opposing tight ends.
So it's nothing major. Okay, good. And I don't like Cooper on the road at Baltimore because Baltimore's really good defensively, and we know the home road splits with Cooper. But I mean, for Kegerator, it's a good lineup. Let's go with that.
Yeah, I love that qualifier for Kegerator. It's fantastic. It's best sure. He's done.
Right. Or when you're 2-7, that's the best you can ask for.
I just wanted to look at the road splits for Amari Cooper. It's actually better this year than it has been previously.
I will agree. There's been some outliers, yes.
They've played 8 games, and he's only had 3 road games. So he's scored 16, 4, and 14 in those 3 road games. So not as terrifying as it used to be. So I'm looking at the bench here. I mean, rightfully, Kyle Pitts is down here.
Right.
I don't know. If you're doing a double tight end stack, granted Taysom Hill's not a pure tight end, are you looking Kyle Pitts against or at Arizona, who's normally a tight end?
Yeah, normally, but not this year. They're like top 10 against tight ends this year. So, no, I would not. I would not do it. I would stick with Taysom Hill. Minnesota still gives up things, and they've – if Taysom Hill can't get a bunch of – you know, earlier in the – year he was rushing for a bunch and getting good yards and getting touchdowns. Now he's throwing, catching. I mean, he's going to get touchdowns. It's just the way it is. It's just that's the way their offense is this year.
All right, last one I'll throw at you is that before you break anything down that you're looking at is the Jags defense. They're home against San Francisco.
Yeah.
Now I know Arizona's a good matchup, but like we said, Kyler's back. Who knows what that offense is going to be? But San Francisco went into the bye on a definite downslope. Coming out of the bye, teams usually have an uptick, but the Jags are at home. What do you think here? Are they worth the start over or no?
I mean, I would probably stick with my good defense. You're going with the Falcons and going against Arizona based on what Arizona has done recently. But the fact that, I mean, Tyler said himself, Kyler Murray's not going to come out of the gates slinging, but they've only broken the 10 spot twice since week one, the Falcons on defense. So you're just hoping to maybe get 10 points out of them where Jacksonville has. Now, granted, San Francisco, but Purdy has been struggling recently. And they're pretty good against the run. So CMC will still get his, but it may be through the air. I don't know. Again, like I said before, I like to stick with the defense that got me here. I don't like to play matchups. You know, if you have a good defense, yeah. And Jackson or the Jags have been a good defense, so I wouldn't get cute, but that's
yeah, I've definitely been burned by that. I mean, I got burned twice.
I mean,
the Seahawks and the Cowboys defense that I didn't start on that other week is terrible, so
yeah. To back you up, Rob, San Fran worst matchup for opposing defenses, but weeks 1 through 6, never once did a defense score 10 points against them. The last 2 games, 10 points each. So, right. Like you said, at the start of the year, terrible to play against, but it's kind of turning. And so, you know, I don't know. I know in one league I am forced to play Jacksonville because there's just no other options. And, you know, I don't feel terrible about it, but.
Yeah, here's a caveat I would throw out before you go, Blake, is that Debo should be back. And those last 2 games, Debo wasn't there. So that does make this offense a little different. So that would be maybe the caveat on why you would do it. To be like, oh, San Francisco out of the bye, full strength. They'll be more like the beginning of the year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And all I was going to say is, Tyler, I'm basically forced in the same spot. Starting the Jacksonville, they've got me just like Rob's saying. They've been my defense all year up until their bye. I'm kind of forced to start them. I wasn't going to start my backup defense in the Houstons this week. So.
Yeah,
I'm just kind of riding with him, but I know Nate's probably sitting there with the same exact debate. So I was interested in what your thoughts were. Any other pieces on this bench, Rob, before we throw it to Tyler, that you're thinking about fitting in here, or is Nate starting his best lineup?
No, he's starting his best lineup. You don't want to take chances on anything else. Osborne's not going to play. You can't do like he did last week and have the Jonathan Taylor, Zach Moss experience at the same time. So I think he's doing the best he can right here.
All right, Tyler, take her over, man.
Yeah, we already talked about Kyler Murray, so I'm not going to go into that one. It is a good matchup against Atlanta, but again, who knows what to expect. I just didn't see you know, I had to elevate Kyler from my IR this week on a week where I had Patty Mahomes on bye. So I didn't have the roster flexibility to go pick somebody else up. So that's why I'm playing him. Mixon, good matchup against Houston. Jerome Ford, bad matchup, but good volume. So I'll take the volume there. Ridley, incredible matchup against San Francisco. San Francisco's bottom five against receivers. So this is very much a, if he doesn't come right here, he's not going to come at all matchup.
Boom.
There you go, Rob. DeMario Douglas against Indy, same thing. He's, you know, been getting the volume, and against Indianapolis' secondary, I'll take that. Talked about Irv Smith already. Pollard, same thing. He has been bad for fantasy the last few weeks, but I think he's had like three touchdowns taken off the board in the last 3 weeks by some sort of penalty or happening.
Yes.
So I'm just hoping that
stats could be a lot better.
Yeah. I think he is number one in the league. I think supposedly, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but his expected fantasy points is like 4 points higher than what he is at. He's averaging like 10 per game, and he should be averaging like 14 or 15. So I'm just going to keep riding it and see what happens. And then Pittman, because with Josh Downs, sounds like that injury is not great. The Colts Colts worked out Sammy Watkins, so they're looking for options. So Pittman's the guy there. And then we, you know, same thing with your guys' take on the defenses. I'm riding with the defense that has gotten me here. Baltimore, not a good matchup, but the Browns defense is very good. Going into bench, I'm not playing Marquise Brown against Atlanta. I'm already, you know, a little bit concerned about what Arizona is going to look like. And Atlanta is good against receivers. And going down, I don't have many other options. Jaden Reed versus Pittsburgh. That's a really good matchup. So maybe, like, if DeMario Douglas gets downgraded, I'm going to be fine throwing Jaden Reed in. I mean, I could do Jackson Smith and Jigba. Those guys are pretty close to me. So I'll just have a Sunday morning decision to make if DeMario Douglas is downgraded.
You do have another option at quarterback. You could get Dak Prescott or Jared Goff.
Well, you see, I think what you missed since you weren't sitting here was I said that I don't have the roster flexibility to go get another quarterback. Unless you would like to buy Kyler Murray at a severely increased rate.
I think I'll stick reduced with salary.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Tyler, just as a flavor conversation, how do you feel about the Josh Downs knee injury? Someone who I was maybe targeting in the waiver run was Alec Pierce for the Colts. He got a decent amount of work towards the end of the season last year. Didn't get any catches last week, but he's been one of those receivers that's consistently gotten you 7 to 9 points or 5 to 9 points every week this year with Josh Downs on an extended injury. I don't know. It's just something I wanted to toss out there.
Yeah, I'm not like targeting Alec Pierce anywhere. They don't have any like really, they have a couple of good matchups towards the end of the year, a couple of top five matchups, but I think that's going to be, you know, mainly Pittman. And Downs, I don't, you know, they have a bye next week, so you can really take it easy week 10 with Downs and hope he can come back week 11. So I'm not really going out and targeting anybody outside of super, super deep leagues where you have to, you know, shoot your shot as soon as something happens.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into picking this one. I've got dice this week, unless Tyler really wants it.
Nope.
Go for it.
All right. We're going to roll my low-key favorite dice, the D12. That's a 5, so we're taking the Reapers on the dice.
Ooh, dice is...
I will also take myself in this matchup because Nate stinks out loud. I don't care what the projections say. Nate stinks. So there it is.
Rob?
I've said this every time I've taken Nate, and I think he's let me down more than he's not let me down. By the way, after we pick here, we should see how we did last week. But I'm going to take Nate.
Should we do that?
We should.
Should that be something that maybe the host would organically say? Wow.
Let me tell you, I guarantee you there's a reason why Blake didn't bring that up to this point, because he went 2-3 last week, which was worst.
Ooh, there we go. I just Sometimes we breeze by it. I'm sorry, Blake. I didn't mean to step on your dig. Keg Raider, I'll take him. Don't let me down, Nate.
Oh gosh.
I'm taking Nate. Oh, it's 2-2.
That's you guys are about to be disappointed.
Yeah, probably.
I think we've done this 2 or 3 times now, Rob, and I think we've been disappointed every time both of us have gone Nate. So tell her, how did we do last week overall, since apparently I was last?
Well, yeah, Blake was terrible at 2-3. Tyler and the Dice were both 4-1, and Rob was 5-0.
Oh, come on, boys. Woo!
Damn.
That's how we do it.
That is depressing. Okay. Our next matchup is the Iowa Corn Wieners at 4-5, projected 135 points, versus the Hawaiian Chacas, 8-1. Monty carries on.
Oh, my God.
He's projected 140. So this is a close matchup.
This is very close. Yeah.
Tyler, Iowa Corn Wieners have Sam Howell at Seattle at the quarterback spot. Saquon Barkley and Rashad White are the running backs. Brandon Ayuk and Chris Olave are the receivers, both on the road. Dalton Kincaid at tight end. Jordan Addison and Brian Robinson in the flex with the Saints defense at Minnesota. With Josh Dobbs was named the starter, was he not?
Yes.
So, Tyler, I guess, what do you think about this lineup?
I like the Josh Dobbs was named the starter, right? Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Didn't know where you were going with that. Thought you had something more on that.
That was it. It was all in the same sentence.
An additive. Yeah.
Josh Dobbs
doing.
Isn't even on this team, Blake.
Saints defense at Minnesota, where Josh Dobbs was named the starter, wasn't he?
Terrible.
Yes. Which I know what you're doing. You're just saying it's a little bit of an upgrade for Minnesota, because if they were starting Hall again, that would be like guns out for the Saints defense.
No. What happened?
Oh, well, that's what I took it as.
What happened
anyway.
Was is Rob nailed it. Tyler was not paying attention to what was happening.
Okay. There they go.
Down. Calm down. It's okay. It's okay. Right.
Tyler.
You need to get angry.
Tell me how this fucking starting lineup is before I rip your goddamn neck off.
Sam Howell should be fine against Seattle. I think that game could turn into low-key a shootout. I don't know. I wonder what the over-under is on that game, but I don't know, but I agree
with you 100% on that.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it was under 48.
I'm going to go look while you do this.
Okay. I was going to go look.
Okay, Saquon Barkley versus Dallas. Saquon is the offense. So, I mean, and it's not like it's getting worse because Daniel Jones is out, because he's been out and Saquon has been fine. So you just have to hope he gets to 100 yards. And I don't know if he will, because Dallas is going to focus on just completely shutting down the run game. Rashad White against Tennessee. Terrible. That's a terrible matchup for running backs. Ayuk versus Jacksonville is fine. Olave versus Minnesota is fine. Kincaid versus Denver. Kincaid is maybe sneaky one of the best tight ends rest of season, and it starts this week against a top three matchup for tight ends. And then you follow it up with Addison and Brian Robinson, who, you know, Robinson has a decent matchup, but yeah, just not, you know, stellar matchups all the way down the board here for Corn Wieners.
So that over under for the Commanders at Seahawks is 45.5.
Oh,
on DraftKings.
Well, let's go lose some money, boys.
It should be above that.
Over.
Yeah, this should be. I think you're right. This is a low key shootout, and I think Sam Howell in this is a good play by Sam in this one.
I think the more interesting, what do we want to call this? We should make a segment going forward. The biggest Tyler's biggest accidental shootout of the week.
Right. Instead of like almost win, it's accidental shootout.
Yeah. Because
will somebody just give me a number for no particular reason?
$8.50. $1.50.
Those are neither one of those are good numbers.
Well, then I'm sorry.
I asked for money.
Oh. No, 87.
Fine, 12.
I said 87.
Fine, I'm picking my own number.
Fine.
I don't know what you expect.
I know, he's doing something instead of going through the bench like he was supposed to.
No, we're solidly on a tangent. Okay. But where do you think, when we're talking about accidental shootouts, the fucking Panthers at Bears on Thursday night?
Oh, not even
close
to an accidental
shootout. Over-unders at 38.5. I don't know. These feel like this feels like a matchup where two bad teams could just rip each other apart.
I mean, knowing Badgett plays again, I don't know. Both defenses have been playing better, but both offenses, No, I don't like that.
So the over-under on that one is giving both teams half a point more than their average this year. So it's right at both teams' average where it is. Both teams play middle of the pack as far as pace, so it's not like you can say, hey, these teams play fast, so maybe that will lead to points. Like, I think it's a rat line. I think it's one of those where you look at it and you go, oh, that should be great. And it's like,
No, it's not. That's why I was struggling, because it's like, I can't see a reason why it would go over that. Oh, it could, but it could not. Oh, thank you for getting some empirical evidence there. That's what we have you for, is all the betting fun.
It's one of those situations where it's like,
numbers gone, it's a fact. Go ahead and check stats. Yeah, I found a glitch in the code. Exploit that, not glistening gold.
Is this the stat boy bump from now on? Right? Is this the stat boy bump from now on?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? All right. Cool.
It feels like a feels pick for me. Anyway, Tyler, let's look at the bench. Let's get back into what we're actually talking about. Welcome to the second tangent of the night. Trevor Lawrence is on this bench, home against San Francisco. They're a good defense. Lawrence has actually been playing well, though, this year.
Yeah, I would rather play Sam Howell against Lawrence. And Lawrence, actually, for fantasy, hasn't been playing great. He's been playing good NFL football, but for fantasy, he's 20th, 19th. He has not been great.
Yeah, Sam should trade Lawrence to me for Dak Prescott. Or Jared Goff. Come on, let's make a deal.
Anybody else down here that you're seeing, Tyler? I mean, Derek Carr at Minnesota could be an interesting, flyer pick, but you've got some receivers.
I tell you exactly who I'm looking at is the Jets defense versus Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, we know Vegas is starting a rookie the rest of the year with Aiden O'Connell. And I know the Saints are facing off against Josh Dobbs, and the Saints are good, but Vegas is bad. So, I just think, and the Jets defense is really good.
And Josh Dobbs has surprised and done things he isn't supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but he also played a couple really bad games in Arizona.
Yes, but.
But now he has significantly more offensive firepower around him. Minnesota offense is significantly better.
Yeah.
All right, so other than the Jets defense instead of the Saints, Sam's playing his best lineup, you'd say, Tyler?
Yeah, there's no one down here that's really standing out to me. There's a bunch of bad matchups down here is all that I'm seeing.
All right, Rob, Shockers. They've got their newly picked up Geno Smith home against Washington at the quarterback, Ramondre Stevenson, Jahmyr Gibbs at their running back spots, DJ Moore and Tyler Lockett in at receiver, Dalton Schultz at Cincinnati coming off his best career game ever, I want to say.
Of course, because he was playing me. Thanks a lot, Dalton.
Stephon Diggs and CeeDee Lamb in the flexes. Boy, I hate that Monty just continues to do this. It's super annoying.
Throws his toilet.
But he's doing the correct thing where he has Thursday night guys in his spot and he has later games in the flex. It's the right thing to do.
It is, but it's whether or not Monty's been doing it on purpose or that's just the way the schedule has been the last 3 weeks, he's had Diggs and Lamb in his flexes every single week.
Yeah, I guess. It's so annoying.
Then he's got the Ravens D home against Cleveland. So, hey, Rob, what do you think about this guy?
I mean, it's a good lineup. I mean, he's got, Tyler mentioned earlier, Geno Smith, good pickup this week. Already talked about that Sam Howell at Seattle, it could be a sneaky shootout. Well, he's got the other end of this, so real good. Stevenson, wow, great game last week for the first time in a while. Oh, of course, against me. We talked about Gibbs earlier. DJ Moore is just waiting, a 300 receiver to break out anytime. Dalton Schultz, God, maybe he comes back down to earth. And then you already mentioned the receivers. It's just like, whatever, craziness. And the Ravens are a great defense. So great lineup. I mean, especially since he's got some people on a bye and he's still putting out a really good lineup. So I don't know what you can say.
Yeah, so looking at the bench, there's a ton of upside. What is happening on my camera?
I don't know.
Anyway, moving past the all I saw was the palest thing that I've ever seen.
Well, it's winter. Yeah. Fuck off.
There you go.
So Rob, all I'm seeing here is, you know, your tight end conversation is Jonnu Smith. If you want to start him over Dalton Schultz, I don't know
I mean, you can't coming off that game. You got to hope that he's a big part of that offense. So
otherwise, your bench is basically just upside in bye weeks. So
let's not rule out Dalton Schultz since he absolute worst schedule adjusted against tight ends. So incredible matchup. Yeah. Incredible matchup for Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to put in Jonnu Smith over that. Yeah. So,
and that's what I was also saying.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so, yeah. I wasn't paying attention. I was busy taking my sweatshirt off.
Oh, thank you. That
cool.
So
great.
Yeah, he's playing his best boys.
All right, Rob, pick this matchup.
Oh, it's shocking. I'm not picking against him. I didn't pick against him last week, even though I had a good shot. I'm not picking against him this week. I'm sorry. Sorry, Sam, but he's just. Shakas is on a goddamn roll. He's lost two games in the past 2 years. What do you want?
Dice roll.
Yeah, 100%.
Dice roll of three. That's Shakas, and I'm on the same boat.
Okay.
That's a queen sweep.
That is a queen sweep.
Duck it, Sam.
All right, our next matchup is here's Tubby sitting at 4-5. By the way, in the Briefs division? I never remember who's what. But in my division, there's three teams tied at 4-5 record.
Yeah, these two and you.
Oh, what? Your division stinks and the other division is really hard? That's weird. That's super weird that always happens.
No, all right, get out of town.
Super crazy.
No, Tyler?
That's so crazy that always happens.
It does not
that's
always
so
happen.
So weird. Oh, man, what? Years. No. You know what? Fuck you. Shut up. You're getting the mute.
No.
You know how fucking weird that is, Rob? That Blake always complains that his division is so hard.
Well, to be fair, the worst team.
And always in the regular season, the top scoring teams are in the other division.
I know, but to be fair, I was the worst team in the league the last 2 years in our division. So,
yeah, but
I can't really say. I can't really say.
We had multiple great teams in our division. Blake is just the worst. Every year has the least. Go back on mute. Every year has the worst points against in the entire fucking league. And he's always so hard over here. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, my God.
He always makes the playoffs. And he does have usually a really terrible points for. But he usually has, like, the top one or two points against. For whatever reason, teams that play him get scared by his.
Because he's in a trash division.
I never, not once, complained how hard this division was. First of all, motherfucker. Second of all, the last 2 years you had the anchor that is Rob dragging down your division. Mine has been the winningest division the last two fucking years in a row. Oh, now all of a sudden.
Oh, does your division have the team that's lost two games in the last fucking 18 months? No.
Now I'm an anchor.
Maybe you guys should score better against me since I always have the least points against. Maybe you should fucking do better, huh?
I want to throw this beer bottle against the wall.
Start a better lineup, Tyler.
Why don't you draft better? And maybe we would talk about you in,
here we go. Catchphrases.
In not sub-500 land.
Tyler, I average a second place finish in the championship. What the fuck do you have to say?
Bullshit, first of all. Blake, don't you make me fact check you on that because you're going to lose that battle.
By the way.
It's either second or third.
You're already backing on up. Move those goalposts, baby.
By the way, last week, I actually was the team that had the least scored against me until I got beat. Now Blake is back in first place in points against.
Yeah.
The lowest. Second best.
The league. You should hire a better defensive coordinator. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, mine's pretty good.
No, Blake, you can't say that.
And I got a new defensive coordinator, so I don't suck. But I'm sorry I was an anchor the last 2 years in our division.
Can we get
that? Don't say that.
But don't say I was an anchor?
No, you can't say that. You have to hire a better defensive coordinator for fantasy football.
Oh, okay.
That's not allowed. Let's see. So
all right,
Blake
Blake
here has averaged.
Here.
Let's see.
Let's. I thought we were gonna go into this matchup.
Here's Tubby.
Yeah, I got you.
they've got Brock Purdy at Jacksonville at their quarterback. Sure. Travis Etienne and Alvin Kamara at their running back spots. They've actually been very good this year. You can talk about how you were super down on both those guys before the season started, Rob. I'll just let you touch that one.
Well, Etienne and Kamara?
Yeah.
Well, yes. Well, everybody was down on Etienne a little bit because they thought that the new rookie, the little shiny bauble, was going to do well. But he didn't. And Etienne has just kind of taken over. Oh, I remember last year blissfully when I had drafted him and they traded him midseason because he was splitting time with old Achilles himself. And now that guy doesn't even have a job. And yeah, that was a bad move last year, and which helped me gain last place. Bad move.
Receivers are Christian Kirk and Adam Thielen. David Njoku's at tight end. He's carrying a Q tag. Jamar Chase is in the flex, also with that Q with Josh Jacobs as well. We got the Niners defense at Jacksonville.
Okay. So, Purdy, I guess we'll see, right? Jacksonville's a good defense. We'll see. Coming out of the bye, have they, you know, made some changes or gotten better? You already mentioned Kamara and Etienne have been doing it. Whether they can run or not, it doesn't matter because they both catch the ball. And so they're dual threats and the two top dual threats besides McCaffrey in this league. Kirk, Thielen, good. Njoku, not who you want to play, especially against Baltimore. Chase is the big thing on this whole thing. If he doesn't play, it's a problem. And obviously, the Jets are pretty good on defense, so Josh Jacobs is going to have a little bit of an issue.
So,
Jets are actually top 10 matchup for running backs. They give up the run.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, because they're so good at the pass.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. All right.
Exactly. So, Rob, I'm just looking at the bench down here.
Yeah, me too. I mean,
Christian Watson practiced in full. He was dealing with an injury there at Pittsburgh this week. I don't love that matchup at home against Pittsburgh, but
that matchup. I love it.
Really? Yeah, yeah. Pittsburgh's really bad against the pass. Yeah, really bad against the pass. So if Jamar Chase somehow doesn't play this week, you throw Christian Watson in, you're like, okay, I'm cool with that.
All right, yeah. Tyler, we haven't done it very much this year.
What
do you set the line of Christian Watson over under our scoring format fantasy points at Pittsburgh this week?
Ooh, here you go. Hit it.
That's hard because he's been like kind of hurt the last few weeks, hasn't he?
I don't really like it.
He has no injury designation this week.
Give me 10. Just give me double digits.
That's a tough line. See, if you're sitting at like 12 and a half, I'd go under for sure, because I think he'll score 11 or 12.
I have gotten so good at setting these fucking lines from your bullshit.
give him 11.
No.
Give me 11 and a half and I'll take the under.
No.
Fine.
The official line is 9.5.
Oh, there you go. So take an extra point. 10.5, Blake. Come on.
I'll take 10.5. I'll take under 10.5.
Well, you'll take 10, and 10 is a push.
Fine.
Okay. Boom.
Are we dollar betting that?
Yeah. That's in.
That's why I brought it up. So, Rob, the whole reason I brought this entire tight end or this entire discussion up of bench, because this bench is not great.
No.
At least not things that you want to start. But where do you sit on Trey McBride? Tight end for Arizona, second year tight end, playing at or home against Atlanta instead of a hurt David Njoku at Baltimore.
So here's the thing. I don't know why Tubby has three tight ends on this roster and three questionable tight ends, to be fair. Njoku has been hit or miss all season.
He has four tight ends.
Oh my, who else has he got?
He has Goddard.
Oh, God bless America. This guy has way too many tight ends. So, yes, I would be playing Trey McBride, and I would drop like two of these guys and pick up somebody that helps your team.
Yeah, McBride is the only one out of these that has a good matchup this week. Njoku has a terrible matchup against Baltimore, and Conklin has a middle but lower half matchup against Las Vegas. So I, you're firing up Trey McBride easy.
I mean, that's how you Tubby doesn't listen to this podcast, so it doesn't matter what we say about that dumb idiot.
All right, Tyler, can we get through the Hogs in 7 minutes or less?
Oh, potentially. We'll find out, won't we?
All right, we've got Justin Herbert home against Detroit for the quarterback, Bijan Robinson and Gus Edwards at running back. Receivers are Garrett Wilson and DK Metcalf. Mark Andrews home against Cleveland for the tight end. Isaiah Pacheco's on bye. Now we know Hogs does not start, set his lineup until after the Wednesday night. He usually sets it Thursday.
Right.
Flex is Jahan Dotson, who's carrying a Q tag, coming off a great couple of weeks. And right. Then we got the Bills defense home against Denver. So filling in that flex first before we go through the starting lineup, Tyler, do you think it's, just at a quick glance, Alexander Mattison or Tank Dell?
Yeah, one of those two is definitely the option. And it's just a matter of whether you want floor or you want upside. I think Tank Dell is obviously the upside. We saw CJ Stroud have the best rookie quarterback of all time. Just precise, surgical, some would call it. Yeah, I mean, Madison's going to go back to being whatever, an 80% snap share guy. And so, you know, whichever one you prefer there. Yeah, I mean, Herbert should be fine. I'll come back to Bijan because I got shit to say about that. Gus Edwards, unplayable against Cleveland. That Cleveland defense is just good all around. So I think you actually play both Madison and Tank Dell here. I think you bench Gus Edwards.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Wilson, Tyler. DK Metcalf. We talked about that Seattle-Washington game. I love DK Metcalf here. Andrews is fine against a bad Seattle or a bad Cleveland matchup. Because, you know, he's Mark Andrews. And then Dotson, we talked about again, that Seattle matchup. So, yeah, I see a lot of things I like about this team. The one thing I don't like about this team is Arthur fucking Smith.
Yeah.
This fucking guy. We've seen a fucking offensive coordinator in Brian Ferentz get fired for not using his guys. And then fucking Arthur Smith comes out today and has a 6-minute diatribe about how, you know, we've been ineffective in the red zone. We're converting about 50%. If we get that up to 60%, we're top of the league. Well, you know what? That's fine. You have Bijan Robinson, right? You drafted him at 8 overall. You don't need to use him at all. But, you know, the good part is, Rob, let me tell you. Bijan Robinson has the 7th highest snap rate in the end zone, right? That's great, right? 7th highest? That's great.
Snap rate.
On his own fucking team. 7th highest on his own goddamn team. And then Arthur Smith comes out and says, well, you know, we like what Tyler Allgeier does down by the goal line. Do you want to know how often Tyler Allgeier converts goal line touches to touchdowns? Under 10%.
10%. I said 10%.
Under
10
fucking percent. He's done it twice. He scored twice in the fucking red zone. Twice out of 22 times. You know how many times fucking Bijan Robinson has done it? 3 times out of 13. Jesus, he's done it 23% of the time in the red zone. What are we talking about here?
Tyler.
Players? Why do you keep drafting people top 10 and not playing?
Tyler.
The worst.
He shaved his mustache, though.
I don't care. I hope he gets fired. The fucking trust fund motherfucker. I hope he dies with no money. Jesus goddamn Christ. You're going to play this style of football, just don't draft offensive guys. You could have had Jalen Carter. Look how fucking good he is. Don't take Bijan. Just play fucking Tyler Allgeier. I wouldn't care then. But no, you keep taking guys in the top 10.
That's 100% what they should have done, by the way, is take Jalen Carter and not drafted a running back. Yeah, they're dumb.
I will add one thing,
Tyler, to your thing about Mark Andrews. Thank you.
Tally is super agree.
Tally agrees with me. Mark Andrews,
Arthur Smith.
Yes. Mark Andrews' best game this year was earlier in the year against Cleveland.
Oh, there you go.
He had 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's a good play, I believe, especially at home.
All right. Well, I didn't listen to most of that because I was distracted by other things. But I do love the rant, Tyler. I did hear that. But
it was a great rant.
Did you just pick up on the passion there?
I did. There was some passion. Guys are taking 8. They're taking Tubby.
Dice are okay.
Why don't you go next, Mr. Rage? Vent it all.
I have gone either first or second in both matchups so far.
Let's keep going. Yeah, let's keep going.
What did the dice take, Tubby?
Yeah, they did.
I am taking. Boy,
you can't look at the numbers because he's going to replace, you know, with somebody like, let's say Madison is going give him another 10.
If
so
Tubby
be...
put in McBride, I would say Tubby pretty easily.
Yeah, but we have no idea what he's doing.
I don't know if he's going to, is the problem.
Right, because he doesn't listen to this podcast and he doesn't make changes.
I'm gonna have to go with Tubby, but it would not surprise me at all if it's Hedgehogs.
All right,
Rob.
I'm gonna agree the same. I have to go Tubby just because even if you when you replace Pacheco with Madison, that's at best 10 to 15, which still is 125 to 30. He's still projected 15 more. I'm going to say the same thing. I'm going to go Tubby, but if Hedgehogs wins, I'm going to not be surprised.
Now, my heart wants to go Hogs for sure.
I mean, it did too. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it really, really does. But no, I really like the matchups of especially Adam Thielen and I think Brock Purdy can get it done at least a little bit coming off a bye, especially with the Niners organization. So I'm going to go with you on Tubby.
All right.
All right, next matchup is everybody's the home favorite, Scary Terry at 1-8. Everybody's rooting for this man. Everybody wants him to win. Unfortunately, he hasn't set a lineup, so he's projected 90 points. Versus Rob, Fly Eagles Fly at 6-3, making a comeback this year after two. You know what?
Disappointing seasons. Let's call it that.
No, it's basically like you hired a homeless squirrel to run your lineup for 2 years straight, and now all of a sudden you're like back from the frozen tundra vacation you're on for no reason.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about you later. Tyler, yep. We're going to go through Scary Terry's lineup.
Yeah, let's not. He is he doesn't have options this week, and there's nothing of relevance to talk about on his lineup. So, Rob, why don't you just go through your lineup? We'll pick you. We'll all pick you, and we'll go on to the next one.
Nope. Rob, we're going to not listen to what Tyler has to say. Okay. He's not in charge of this.
Right.
Tyler, Scary Terry has Joe Burrow at quarterback, Miles Sanders, and, I don't know, Royce Freeman's on a bye, so who's going to start at running back instead?
He's going to probably have to start Latavius Murray, since DeMarcado may not play.
Yeah, that's probably true, unless... Yeah.
It's looking like he's not. So Latavius Murray, put in there.
Receivers, Deontay Johnson and Chris Godwin.
Sure, do that.
What is Tyler just protesting this line, this matchup or something?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Several matchups, Tyler, but we go through them anyway.
No, we don't.
Sure, we will.
Tyler's the worst.
And he's going to play, like you said, probably Chris Godwin instead of Puka. And
yes.
He's probably going to play Evan Engram instead of Logan Thomas.
Most likely, but the Logan Thomas at Seattle, I like this matchup.
I mean, that might not be bad. And then he might actually then, because if you move Godwin into receiver, might do the double tight end and go Engram and Jacoby Mears.
Yeah, there's
you've moved the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Anyway,
you have a lot of buys, and you're still dealing with several injuries that have happened to this team. I mean,
correct.
Unfortunately, Chris, I would say Zach Ertz is a drop candidate to free up a roster spot to grab somebody with upside that's been in the last couple of weeks of waivers. That's right. A mistake that you've made.
Yep.
Well, Chris has also gotten zero. I think literally zero out of Miles Sanders the last 3 weeks, hasn't he? Oh, no, he got eight last week. Eight,
yeah.
Zero, bye, zero, two, five. So
yeah,
since week three, he should not have been playing Miles Sanders.
Well, I don't know that he's had him that long. He's only had him a couple weeks.
I believe he's had him since the start.
No, I traded him, Miles Sanders, for Najee Harris and bullshit.
Yeah, it was like week five-ish.
Yeah. So I had him for his crap. this eight was a good thing because he's now healthy and he's like, I actually think to the end of the, through the end of the season, he's going to take it back from Chuba Hubbard, who has not shown he can handle it, and he will actually be a good play going forward.
Well, then he's got to prove it on Thursday night.
Okay, yeah. We'll find out. All right. Anyway,
so yeah, I mean, you know, you have a lot of decisions to make here, Chris. You have there's certainly situations where you can make the right one. I mean,
and the wrong one.
Tyler Boyd's even something in there that is an option for it. I mean, Houston just got gouged by a ton of different receivers.
Well, and in case Jamar Chase doesn't play, if that were to happen, then Tyler Boyd becomes playable.
Yeah.
Right?
There's more here to talk about than Tyler wants to say. And
there isn't. There fucking isn't.
Okay, right. Cool. I tell that. God damn, I wish I had the option to mute you. But Rob, why don't you go through your team, Rob?
All right. So right now I'm playing Jared Goff against the Chargers on the road just because historically this year the Chargers have been not great on defense, though they have been better the last few weeks. But this, to me, looks like it could be a shootout. Both offense should do well. So I'm going with that upside. McCaffrey's back. Duh.
What? Chargers have also become the number one matchup against quarterbacks. So yes. Great for Jared Goff.
McCaffrey, obviously playing him. Jones has been pretty good this last week. Zay Flowers, fine, whatever, I have to. Devontae Adams, God, I have to. I have a lot of bye situations. Hockenson, he's fine. I don't like playing against New Orleans because they're generally decent at the tight end, but that's the only thing. Walker, Najee, and I'm playing the Raiders. So I have a lot of bye week things. But, God, if the Raiders do against the Jets, I'm happy. My bench, obviously, I have A.J. Brown, Waddle, and the Chiefs defense, and, oh, wait, Jalen Hurts all on bye. So my only real choices are, hey, am I going to play Dak Prescott or Jared Goff? I've thought about Dak Prescott because he's been hot recently, over 40 points 2 weeks in a row. However, with them having to play, Danny DeVito's kid, the other DeVito, it'll be just like it was at the beginning of the year where Dallas, like, didn't have to do anything offensively. It just, like, did everything on defense. So I don't see a lot out of Dak. He'll probably have an efficient game, but he's not going to have a 40-point game, I doubt, unless they just decide, hey, let's crush the Giants. So that's why I've got Goff in there. So,
yeah, I think you guys are both basically going to be locked into your lineups as far as you have who you have to play. And, you know, we go from there.
Yeah, agreed. I have just so much on bye this week.
Jeebus Christ, so many things happening off screen. I guess we just want to pick this one.
Sure, go for it.
All right.
Tyler, I already wrote us all down for Fly Eagles Fly, so just roll the dice.
That's a one. That's Eagles.
Okay. There you go. Hey, our second queen sweep.
Here last we go. Last matchup.
The Michigan final.
Held by the Hot Snakes at 4-5. I've got my best projected points of the year at 161. Versus cut my tea bags at 6-3, projected 138.
Yeah.
So
should we start with tea bags this time, or you want to start with you?
We're just gonna keep the flow. I've got Josh Allen home against Denver at the quarterback. Ugh. I love this matchup. I mean, Josh Allen's been steady Eddie all year, even though the Bills as an offense in real NFL have looked rocky as all hell.
Yeah, he's still number one, right? He's the number one quarterback.
Is he? No, he was number three last week.
No, he's number one.
I love that for me.
Yeah, he's number one. So,
but yeah, I love a matchup home against Denver. Should be a good get-right game, and he should continue going on. Running backs, I've got Austin Eckler and Breece Hall. Also, both good running backs. The only issue I have with them is the recent weeks they've been running super inefficiently. But they've been getting tons of passing work and big receptions. And Breece's case, big receptions for touchdowns. So I love that going forward. Receivers, Mike Evans and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I couldn't ask for two better starting receivers. Mike Evans is the big play guy. Amon-Ra is the consistency guy. I'm digging that. Sam Laporta, Tyler said at the top of the show, even though I have two Detroit receivers technically in this lineup, Detroit is one of the higher percentages for big play teams. Laporta is one of the guys that contributes to that. He does get them big. What?
Oh, he's going to say, and he's the number four tight end on the year.
Yes. And he'll get them a couple receptions for, 7, 9, 12 yards, but then he'll grab one for 36 or something crazy. So
exactly.
I love that. DeAndre Hopkins, Deebo Samuel on the road in my flex. Hopkins, give me the third week with Will Levis at quarterback at a favorable matchup against Tampa Bay, who just got gouged all to hell by the Texans. So I'm loving that. And then Deebo Samuel, he's the question mark, the only one in my starting lineup because he's coming off injury, but I'm going to feel pretty good about him. When we look at my bench, it's not of things that I feel great about. And then I got the Cowboys D home against the Giants, which should be smash play.
You have exactly one bad matchup, and it's Austin Eckler, which you don't care about matchups.
Yep.
And right. even if you can't play Deebo when we get into your bench, you have another really good matchup there that you can play. So this is about as perfect situation as you can get for a fantasy lineup.
Yeah, I'm loving it. If we're talking receivers and replacing Deebo, it's Drake London, which I wouldn't replace Drake London over Deebo coming off the same injury. Jaylen Warren home against Green Bay is a fantastic matchup, though. Green Bay gets smashed by running backs all the time. So that is a very interesting one. George Pickens, I'm not starting him. I am not starting George Pickens again.
You can.
Until something is shown different. So this is pretty much, this is my best lineup with that one questionable about my second flex spot in Deebo.
If you have to play someone, I think Romeo Dubs is the play. Over Drake London against Arizona, because we don't know if that's going to be kind of a lower scoring game. Romeo Dubs against Pittsburgh, we already talked about it with Christian Watson, where, that secondary isn't good. I think he's clearly the best play you have on your bench.
Yeah, and I just don't know. I don't know about Dubs because
you're playing Deebo. He's a full. He was a full go.
No, I'm saying if Deebo were to not go or something like that.
Oh, he's right. He's already off, so you're good.
See, and we're in the same game, Tyler. But I think Warren would be a start over Romeo Dubs. I just don't know what's going on with the Green Bay offense.
I mean, they played way better this last week, to be fair.
And Dubs only had 3 targets.
Okay. All right.
So I think Warren would be my start there. So guys, go ahead and break down the teabags for me.
I mean, so I'll just list them and Tyler, you tell me what you think. We got CJ Stroud at Cincinnati coming off his career for a rookie. Khalil Herbert has made the lineup coming off IR. Derrick Henry, Terry McLaurin, and Keenan Allen. Jake Ferguson against the Giants at home. T. Higgins, Nico Collins, and the Bears against Carolina. What do you think looking here, Tyler?
I don't love relying on Jake Ferguson. I would rather have somebody else just because, I don't think Dallas is going to have to do much to be up. As far as your running backs go, Henry's always going to be in. Herbert has a good matchup against Carolina. I don't know how he's going to be used coming back. I don't really want anybody on the Bears because I don't think I can predict it. We've talked about Washington at Seattle so much this game. Play everyone, basically.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen, you got to play all the time. T. Higgins with, potentially hurt Chase, but Houston is good against receivers. They give it up to running backs and tight ends. Collins, you got a lot of that Cincy Houston game.
There. Like four players, right?
Yeah.
Two, three, four.
If that game all of a sudden has kind of a weird game script, which I feel like Cincinnati kind of gets into game scripts you don't expect sometimes.
Yeah.
Who
knows?
So if that game goes wonky, but looking down at the bench, you have no one here to play. So I think you're going to take it on the chin this week and go on to week 11.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's pick them.
Yeah, let's get into it. Do a dice here. Well, I'll tell you what happened. When you guys, this is wild. This is a crazy thing. So when you guys started the lineup of teabags, I rolled a dice into my little dice tray here, and it bounced out, and it was a three. And I was like, all right, they take the teabags. I'm going to re-roll this when it comes actual time. Because it rolled out of the dice box. So let's redo it. I just rolled again. It rolled out of the dice box a second time, and it's still a three.
Then I guess you got to take it.
It's 100% teabags on the die.
Yeah, they love it. All right.
Now, Rob, I want you to go first because I am thoroughly stressed now. The dice, it seems
the
like
dice fate loves it. You know what? The dice is high and stupid and dumb, and there's no way they win. The snakes take this one to even their record at 5-5.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, before Tyler goes, snakes take it. To make this division even more toilet than ever, because if Nick, who's leading this division, loses, he's 6-5, you're 5-5, and then all the other
Rob
Mongolians behind you are 5-5. This
don't talk
is
bad about this
division.
Don't talk bad about this division.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Rob, we can't talk bad about this division. They do have one team in the top half for scoring. So
yeah, I forgot about that.
You know, they do have one team in the top five.
Anyway, if this what I said happens, it's just going to be a conglomeration down in that division. It's going to be.
Did you ever stat check what my average finishing position is in the championship?
Yeah, I was going to, but I didn't have last year's stats in the spreadsheet, so I couldn't.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. All right. I'm pretty sure we looked at this before the draft, or like during last year's season, and
it could be
the championship. I finished either third or second most years. I don't think I'm lying about that, but we're all taking snakes here except for the dice. Am I correct?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get the fuck out of here. It's been an hour and a half. It's been too much. Welcome to the drunkest podcast of the year. I mean that's
you.
A fact, right?
Outside of
for
maybe you. The draft. The draft tends to take it.
The draft took the cake.
Yeah, apparently I was super mean during the draft, which I don't think that was true.
Who said that?
Nate and Sam, but they're both little tiny dick pussies, so who cares?
I'm sure after this we'll be like, yeah, Blake's awesome. He was fine.
No, they should shut up. They have terrible takes, but here we go. Let's get out of here.
Small world.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Make my wish come. Now why me? You crank that song. Now why? Soldier.